Yes, and we are back. Welcome to the Lunchtime Social. How are you doing, Mac?
I'm all right. Do you know what I'm worried about?
Yep.
I'm worried about saying something that I shouldn't, and not meaning to, because I think that is, in our today's society, across all ages,
yep.
People might not be aware of something.
Yep.
And, you know, they say it, and accidentally... See, that's fine. If you say something and you think, oh, crikey, I shouldn't have said that, and I do apologise,
yeah.
That's fine. But when somebody does say something and they don't apologise,
mm-hmm.
and they don't see why they should apologise,
yep.
that's when I worry, and that's when I think that's when it becomes offensive.
Okay, cool. But, so you're jumping ahead of what we're actually going to be talking about here, which is about being offended.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the whole thing of being offended.
But I'm worried that I might...
That you might end up offending somebody.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
But
so
not,
this,
not meaning to.
Yeah, well, but not meaning to, but this is part of what I'm talking about. This is part of what I chose this topic as a topic for the Lunchtime Social, because it's something that really, really, I'm worried about the way people approach this sort of things. Like, I'm worried about the way people approach, as you said, when somebody says something that they don't mean to. How do you approach that? How do you go on that? So I'm talking about, because I think we have a culture nowadays of being offended. Not a culture of offense. Not like it's okay to just walk around offending people left, right, and center. But it's one of people getting offended and then expecting that whatever it is that's offending them has to stop.
Yeah.
And has to stop, like, right now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm being offended and that's terrible and it shouldn't happen and it should stop right now. And this seems to be becoming a lot more prevalent nowadays. It seems to be becoming a lot more prevalent with things, or I think... As it is with social media, it's just sort of like made everything bigger. It's just sort of like exaggerated everything.
Mm-hmm.
And on the island, we've had a very, very recent high profile case of this that made the national news of, until recently, our MP.
Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Mr. Turner. Good old Mr. Turner. So he said something. It offended a whole bunch of people. And pretty much the pressure of all these people getting offended meant that he lost his job. And what I'm wondering about is, like, as you were saying, about saying something that maybe you might not mean to, anything like that, but somebody gets offended about it. So let's say you're a radio host.
Yeah.
Imagine you say something and you're like, oh, good Lord, that came out wrong. Or it might even just be your view.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people start going, oh my God, for goodness sake, I was offended. That's it.
Yeah.
Sack him.
Yeah.
I wonder, is that the way to go about it? Is that right?
It seems that I don't think it's right,
yeah.
But it seems to be the way. That's where we are now, and because of we've got social media and microphones just about everywhere,
yeah.
and ways and means of getting something recorded and so on,
mm-hmm.
You can make it sound worse than it is. You know, you say something, and I live in fear every day of, because as you get older, like Andrew Turner, you get older, you get more. I don't know, you just don't care what you say sometimes. Or that's the feeling I'm getting from certain people. I mean, my mum, I told you about my mum. My
yeah.
mum's 84 years old, and she still uses a term that you don't like.
Yes.
And I don't use that because it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, that was the word that was used other than, or because you steered clear of other words that were far worse.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And... because, you know, it's different for her. She's 84, and I know other people are roughly around the sort of same age who use the same kind of terminology. They won't think that it's offensive, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's things like we're doing now that we can point out that, yeah, no, that is offensive. That's not right. But then offended, what is offensive, what is offended? I'm sat here now and my bum cheeks are clenched together purely and simply because don't say anything wrong. And you know that when somebody when that's going on in your head, that you do say something. I mean, look at Andrew Turner, look at Prince Philip. How many times has that man put his foot in it?
Yeah.
And his other foot. And
okay, the thing is, I'll tell you the way I look at it, right? I think everybody is offensive. That I think everybody, there will be things that, think about it. Think
I'm offended
about,
by that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, everybody is offensive. I mean, think about your best friend. Think about the people who you are, like, you know, bosom buddies with. There's stuff that they will have done at some point that will offend you.
Yeah.
And it will just be that the way they are. And it's kind of like saying, oh, you know what you said the other day? That offended me. That's it. We're no longer friends. Or unless you've got to, I don't know, pay some sort of penance or something like that. And as you said, there are words that have been used quite often that I really don't like, because I'm Nigerian, I'm black, so I've heard some things that some people say that I find massively offensive. And it's, I could very easily go, right, that's it, you, shut up, you don't want to talk anymore, get off my sight, all that kind of. But I don't think that that's the right way of going about it, because my point of view is that if somebody has a view, let's say, like, you know, you're talking about your mom or something like that, if somebody has your view and they've had a view for a while, the way people sort of go about this thing nowadays is like, oh, you have that view, you're not supposed to have that view, shut up, you're not allowed to air that view, you're not allowed to say anything. And they just shut the person up, they put them in one corner, and half the time the person doesn't understand why what they think is wrong.
Yeah,
they don't understand why what they think is wrong, and you've just put them in the corner and kept them there, which means that the view doesn't get changed. The view doesn't even have a chance to get changed. The view is just sitting there festering, and in my mind, getting worse. And then a decade down the line, it's going to come out even worse than it was when you looked it up in the first place.
Yeah. I said something similar last week. You'll find all of these things under your bed or under the carpet where they're swept. And you just leave them there, and instead of, let's educate people, let's educate ourselves, let's come out. I mean, I just, something that flashed into my head just then. 1980, I think it was 1985, Rock Hudson died of AIDS.
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, back then, sadly, you know, we used to call people names and so on, and as we've got... we've gotten older, we've got more educated, and we talk to people and we find out, and we think, hang on a minute, using that terminology is completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you then, we're now in a society now where it's changed massively, and I'm hoping that the majority of people are they just see people. They may have a different you know, sex life, they may have a different colour, they may have, you know, but we're all people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I see things. But it wasn't like that 30 years ago. Even for me, it wasn't like that for 30 years ago. I told you about Keith Avedon at school.
Yes, you were telling me about that. Keith, tell the story again for the listeners.
Keith was the only black kid in the school. Mm-hmm. Okay? At that time, we were 13, 14. Completely innocent. Didn't really care that, you know, didn't really see a colour. We just saw, because we weren't corrupted like people are corrupted now.
Because mm-hmm.
they're corrupted by Facebook, media, TV and so on. So all we saw was a kid. That's all we saw. And he, because he was the only black kid in the school, he had a large chip on his shoulder. And when people were trying to get, just be friendly with him, he would just sort of turn his back and he would, you know, the barriers would go up and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really quite sad. And when he, I mean, it turns out that, I mean, this sounds like a joke and it sounds like I'm poking fun, but I'm not. And that's the difficulty. He was, he had the record for throwing the javelin.
Yeah.
So when people used to say to him, "You got this, you've got the best record." I still think he's got the best record in the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 30 odd years later, but he thought that we were talking about him because he was a black man throwing a spear and we were taking a mickey out of him, but we weren't.
Mm.
And it was an awful situation, because all you wanted to do was be friends with this nipper, and you think, what should colour come?
Okay, just for anybody listening, Macca said nipper. Nipper, that's what he said.
Nipper, yeah. Oh, see what it's like. And I would never, I use that terminology if I can, if you won't be offended by it, in the term that we used to say.
I think we're going to call this hour is an offence-free zone.
Is it?
It's an offence, well, within here. I don't know what happens when you leave this place because of people who have been listening.
Yeah.
But this hour is an offence-free zone, so carry on.
My mate Shane and I used to try and, even now I'm doing it, I would sit in the sun and try and get as brown as I can be. And I sat there yesterday for 2 or 3 hours, and I was disappointed with the results. And I remember a couple of years ago when Maxine was here, I remember saying to you, I lay out in a blimmin' sun all the time, trying to get a colour like yours.
Yeah.
And Maxine, I remember Maxine said, "You can't say that, Macca. You can't say that." And I'm saying, "Why not? I don't think you weren't offended by it."
No, I'm not offended by it. I'm thinking, I have something you want. That's a good thing.
But it is the trouble is you get the majority of people are, you know, they're fine with most things.
Yeah.
They're grown up and they act in a grown up way. They realise that things have changed and things are moving on and so on and so forth. And they probably feel less awkward. They probably feel, but there is a bit of tension. There's still tension in my bum cheeks.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to put a foot wrong here. I don't want to offend. The last thing I want to do is offend you. And I remember a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about something, doing something, and I talked about spade work. And then I thought, oh my God, what does he think? What does he think I was having a dig at him? And no, I was just saying, I was saying, if you remember rightly, if you...
Yeah, I remember
you've
that.
You've got a frown.
No, I was trying to remember it because, essentially, this tells you where it was. Because I know spade used to be used as a derogatory term for black people.
Yes.
But that's like so out of my consciousness. I didn't even know that. The only way I knew that was because I ended up in a musical of Hair, and there's a song called Colored Spade in it.
Right.
Which, and because of that, and I was like, what, spade, what? Really? Oh, I didn't know that. So... It tells you how far removed it is that I'd even forgotten you said that a couple of weeks ago and apologized for it because it just didn't mean anything.
But you can see where you can almost see the issues that people have with themselves because they I've said something and how bad is that and you know you didn't pick up on it at all.
No. And the thing is, so if we go on from there's this whole culture of being offended. Everybody seems to like to be offended and seems to think that somebody's head has to roll because they were offended. And we're going to get back to the whole sort of like the whole sort of homophobic thing with Andrew Turner. We're going to get back to that.
Okay.
But I mean, let's just stay in the wheelhouse, something that I know I can speak about because I'm black and it's things I've experienced. But I don't think it helps to jump all over the back of somebody who says something that offends you and try and shut them down and try and make them act the way you want them to act.
Yeah.
I don't think it helps at all because, as I said, I feel like those things just go underground. They just fester. There's just resentment that's built up. And then when they come out worse.
Yeah.
And they have been. I'm not saying that this is all that we've seen to do with Brexit, but there's been a certain element of society, of British society, that has come out that I think that's exactly what happened to them. Because they think Brexit means that they are now allowed to be as racist as they want against Polish people or anything like that. Because, and people are thinking, oh my God, I can't believe that in Britain we still have these issues. I'm like, these issues were always there. It's just because you never dealt with them. You just told the people who had those views, you're not allowed to say them.
Yeah.
Shut up, get under the carpet. And I think it's much better if somebody says something that offends you and you say, okay, come on. You have that view. Let's talk about it. Why do you have that view? I don't agree with you, but let's actually talk about it and treat. And when you do that, like it's like when we talk about, okay, people have certain views about black people, or if we want to get even more specific about Africans, or actually very, very specific, and this is what happens with me, people have a very, very specific view about Nigerians. Every time I would meet somebody and they'll find out I was Nigerian, I knew that within about 10 minutes, two things will either come out. Either, oh, you have a very, very good football team, or, oh, I receive 419 emails. I receive all these fraudulent emails from you guys saying that there's a prince in some country and asking for my bank. I knew that would come up, and that was people's view. That's people's view of Nigerians. And I used to think, okay, cool. I could be very offended by that. And there's a bit of me that is offended by that. But instead of going, oh, for goodness sake, how dare you say, well, Nigerians are like that, and making a big fuss about it, I just kind of go, okay, cool. And I would see it as my point of view to be a Nigerian that you are going to meet, and then you are going to figure out what Nigerians are actually like.
Yeah.
And realize that that image you have in your head isn't quite right. And I feel like it's the same thing. I feel like when people have views about gay people, usually it's because they don't know a gay person.
It's because they
don't know a gay person, never met them,
and they generally say, "I'm not homophobic. Oh, I've got loads of gay friends."
Yeah, but I doubt that that's true.
I
doubt that's true for some people. I mean, and it's like some people don't even want to touch a gay person because I mean, maybe they think that they might be infected or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I feel like if you look at a person like that and you tell them, "Shut up, you're not allowed to talk. Go hide in a corner." If you have that happening, then all of a sudden, that person is just going to... It's going to fester. It's going to get worse. I think it's better to actually sit down and say, hey, okay, cool. You have this issue with gay people. Let's go meet a gay person. And you actually have a chat with them and you realize, hang on, they're people as well. And I think it's really hard to maintain that point of view when you know somebody who is standing in front of you, who you're relating to, that has the thing that you supposedly hate.
Yep.
And I feel, and I've felt that with being black, with being Nigerian, because there's a whole thing between Nigerians and other Africans and all that kind of stuff. And it's, and I feel that you've got to open it up. So somebody has a view that you find offensive, don't shut them up.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah. Don't put them in a corner. Don't tell them they're not allowed to express it, because that is not, it's not going to be good for everybody if you do that.
Let's be honest, you're absolutely right. And I've always said, if you talk about these things, you learn so much more about each other. I mean, the end of the day, we're all human, but there are so many different ways of living, and there are so many different ways that people live, and so on and so forth. And it's a case of, we should find out a little bit more about ourselves. And then if we stopped and listened and spoke and chatted through certain things. I mean, I'm a great believer in, there's certain words that are banned. Mm-hmm. There's certain words that are banned. And I said this to a priest once, and he didn't see the logic at first, and then he did. He said that he would be very disappointed if he heard his daughter using, he's a local guy, mm-hmm. using that kind of language. And he's talking about the C-bomb.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, why don't we just, we could nip this in the bud now. We could say, right, okay, just think about it. We know it's bad language, because if you call somebody use the C word.
Yeah.
I mean, without getting too crude, I just think of those, and I think, they're the sort of things that blokes like. I'm trying to clean this up. Okay, so if somebody calls you one of those, I just think, hang on a minute, all blokes, or most blokes, or a lot of blokes will, see what we did there? We went from most to some to, and that's, you know.
Welcome to the 21st not century.
Not all blokes. Some blokes will want to spend their lifetimes, you know what I'm trying to say here.
I know exactly what you're trying to say.
I want to say to, if somebody was to use that word on me, I would say to them, thanks. No, they're my favourites.
You must really like me.
Exactly.
You must spend a lot of your time trying to get to know me better.
And if we did that, because I know that that's probably one of the most offensive words there is.
Yes,
ladies are offended by it. And the same if you were a man and you were called a C-O-C-K. You know, and I think to myself, well, okay.
That isn't that bad.
No, but it's
not seen as that bad, yeah.
We do sort of, some are more offensive than others, and you think, it is just bad. When you say bad language, it is literally bad language, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It's like you can't express yourself, and so it's just, I think it's a bad use of English, quite frankly.
If we just said, because I don't know where all the terminology come from, it doesn't really matter. If we just said that's bad language, but not in the way that you think it is, because we're going to outlaw bad language. We're mm-hmm. going to say, it's all right for you to use the C word, because it's not a swear word. It's just a word.
Yep.
If we did that, then, okay, it may take a bit of time, and it may take a couple of generations to get used to. So there is no swearing. Mm. They're just words. But people would be still offended by those words because of the generation they're in.
Okay, you see, now this is going on to another bit that I wanted to talk about, and that's like, how does something become offensive, and how do things change to make something offensive? Because the C word, for instance, that is something that, because for me, the way I was brought up, I pretty much don't swear. I don't say the F word, have serious issues with the S word, the C word. And so, for me, they're all just kind of like there. But everybody seems to elevate the C word to this level above everything else. And as somebody who came in, okay, I grew up in Nigeria, came to England from 1996, and all of a sudden everybody's talking about this. Oh my God, that's like the worst thing you could possibly say. And I'm like, and I'm really wondering, how did that happen? Mm. Now, that point we can't really get, but I mean, how does something become offensive? Because when we talk about the way where we started off, we talked about people saying, oh, I'm offended, and because I'm offended, therefore this has to change, or that person has to lose their job, or anything like that. I'm a Christian, and nobody cares if anything offends us. Because nobody cares if anything offends us. It's just kind of like, oh, you offended a Christian, big deal. It's a lot bigger thing if you offend, let's say, a Muslim, or if you offend a gay person, or if you offend pretty much any other section of society, but Christians are the ones like, you're offended, yeah, whatever. And it's kind of like, and I'm trying to figure out, so how does it come to that says, okay, cool, what's offensive to LGBT, or even like, we have like the pride thing happening on the island, and that's kind of what kicked off the whole Andrew Turner thing. Yeah. We have the pride thing happening on the island. We even have adverts on radio, Vectis Radio, about it. So if what means that if you offend that person, it's a big thing, but if you offend Christians, yeah, who cares? How does that thing change?
Yeah, just because we said about Andrew Turner. Now, Andrew Turner's coming across as a Christian. He said...
Oh, is he?
He's, well, supposedly.
Okay.
I'm guessing he is. He said homosexuality is not right, and it's dangerous. I think that was
He said he believes... He doesn't think it's right, and he thinks it's dangerous to society.
Yeah.
That's what's been reported.
Now, I don't know what you've heard in the last couple of weeks and how people have taken this, but I checked out a lot of social media. I checked out a lot of newspapers, websites, where they have discussions and so on and so forth. And I've bumped into quite a few people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I bumped into someone the other day that is he's married to my cousin, used to be a bishop of the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent 5 minutes telling me, I won't name him, but he said, I don't see anything wrong with what he said.
Yeah.
And I certainly wasn't offended by it. And we sort of said, well, we've spoken to a lot of people that feel that way as well. But I think the main problem that happened here is that he said it in a school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, for me, that's the main issue. He said that in a school because there may be youngsters that are trying to find themselves in life, wondering, you know, whether they're this or they're that.
Yep.
And that kind of comment is scary because it would drive people to think, maybe some people, it would drive, not all people, but it would drive people to think, oh, well, it's not right because our MP's saying I'm not right, so I've got to hide from my MP. I've got to hide this. So that's the one major issue that I have, is because he said it in a school to people that were probably in some, maybe deemed as, how can I put it?
Vulnerable. Impressionable.
Yes, impressionable is probably the better word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. But he said, I would say it in a school. I wouldn't have any problem with saying it in a school because it's what I believe. And I'll be honest, there were certain websites that I saw a lot of messages underneath, and the messages were very pro, why shouldn't he be allowed to say it?
Well, you see, and now this is the thing. This, because part of the offense thing, when people take an offense, is that I'm allowed to believe what I'm allowed to believe. And they say, you've offended me because you've gone against what I think, the way I think the world should be. But the thing is, at the same time, somebody could turn around and say, well, I'm offended that I'm not allowed to express what I actually think. And I'm being told that I have to think this way.
Yeah, that's the general opinion.
And this is the rub. This is the rub in which it comes in. This is where rub in which it's kind of like saying, and this is what I have an issue with, and this is what I think it's not really well, like a lot of people are just not thinking about it, is that you might walk around and yell about the fact that you're offended about something, but the very fact that you're offended by it might be offensive to somebody else. So the fact that something offends you, I don't think it's enough to have an uproar about. I don't think it's enough to go marching in some street about. I don't think it's enough because, as I say, everything's offensive. And it's not about... I don't think it should be about what's offensive. Like, for instance, let's say you think... it's a bit like a lawyer. A lawyer, what they find offensive should not come into it whatsoever. If a lawyer has to go, defend a murderer, they might find what they did absolutely abhorrent. But the lawyer is bound to say, I don't care. I still have to give you the best possible defense, to say, like, what you did, forget about it. I still have to give you the best possible defense. And I feel like even when you say you shouldn't say that in a school or anything, like, I actually feel it's just the way we approach these things. And we know people have different beliefs.
Yeah.
totally different beliefs all over the world. A lot of beliefs are in direct opposition to each other. And if all of a sudden we decide that this belief is more valid than that belief, pretty much on an arbitrary scale, on a total arbitrary scale, and we say that one is going to be suppressed and that one is going to be elevated, I think that we're in for a hard, hard time. Now, I don't want to do this and have like the final word and run away, because we are going to come back to this, because I think that this is coming to the crux of something.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the crux of something. But first of all, we're going to go for a break. And then after that, we're going to come back and continue on with this discussion, which I'm really enjoying. How are you liking it, Maka?
I'm sort of relaxing a little bit more.
How's the sphincter?
Roll on 1 o'clock.
And we're gonna have and we'll have Andy joining us as well. It is Andy, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's offended by that. His name's Andrew.
Okay, that's it. This is the last you'll ever hear of me on Vectis Radio. I'm being sacked. All right, we'll be back after these messages.
This is Vectis Radio.
Sky Academy helps young people unlock their potential through TV, creativity and sport.
Turning my dream into a reality.
Kickstarting my career.
And helping me build confidence.
Through fantastic mentors and great opportunities.
We're discovering possibilities we never knew existed.
We believe in potential. Search Sky Academy to see how it can help a young person you know.
Reading Roman Villa, more than just an award-winning museum. The eco-friendly building provides free access to a cafe that has stunning views of the whole of Sandown Bay, acres of free parking and plenty of space for children to play safely in the tranquil setting that's hardly changed since the Romans lived here. Come and try Ben's lunches and Mickey's cakes, all homemade and delicious. The friends of Brading Roman Villa provide visitors with a free introduction to the villa's history and delight in answering people's questions. Brading Roman Villa open every day, 10 till 4. Come and treat yourself anytime.
Livewire Electric Shop, for all your domestic appliance needs. Appliance sales, repairs, spare parts and TVs. There are 5 and 7 year warranties available on selected brands. Find us in Orchard Street, Newport, or call us on 01983 522 420. Livewire, your one-stop appliance shop.
Have you heard? Vectis Radio is getting all revved up this summer with live exclusive coverage of the Speedway from the Andrew Uni Stadium in Smallbrook for the 2017 Speedway season.
Join Humpty
and Shania
from 7 o'clock until the last race for all the atmosphere and details. Nothing can be as good as actually being there, but if you can't make it there, do the next best thing. Join us on Vectis Radio, Thursdays, 7 until the end of the last race. Be at your radio.
This is a recruiting announcement for C Company, Hampshire and Isle of Wight Army Cadet Force, who are recruiting in your area now. We are looking for 12 to 18 year olds or in year 8, so please come along and see them. They parade evenings from 7 till 9 at locations situated across the Isle of Wight. For more information, call company headquarters on 01983 522 427. I repeat, 01983 522 427, or you can visit armycadets.com. Do it now.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoilt countryside and woodland. At Haven Street, our new train story discovery centre is an opportunity to get close to the carriages and locomotives. A range of interactive activities can be enjoyed by all ages and tell the fascinating story of railways on the island. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Check out the Rock Monster Show, the dogs for rock music. Showcasing bands that should be heard, live interviews and hidden gems. So hold the dial and smile for Pyro's Rock Monster Show every Saturday evening, 10 to 1, exclusive to Vectis Radio.
social and get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Hello, welcome back to the Learn Time Social. And it's actually very apt that the last thing we heard was talking about how to get in touch with us on social media at Vectis Radio. Because seeing as we've been talking about being offended for the last half an hour, we've had the phone go off a couple of times. And I think that that's because there's people who are trying to get in touch with the... trying to get in touch with the Theta, air their views and all that. It might be a... I quite agree with that. Who knows? But we're not taking phone calls on the show. But if you would like to express your view, please do get in touch with Vectis Radio on Twitter. That's at Vectis Radio. Or on Facebook, or send an email. What's the email address that they can send stuff to?
Studio@vectisradio.com. And the reason why we won't let you on air is because we can't trust you. Is that offensive?
Yeah, no, you might say something offensive. We don't know. You might say something offensive. So we were talking about being offended with what it means. And the question I was posing beforehand was, how do we decide what becomes offensive, and how do we decide that something being offensive to somebody means that something has to be taken at a higher level? I was talking about the fact, for instance, that I'm a Christian and nobody cares what we think. Things can offend us from here to this Sunday. Nobody cares. I mean, that's, I know that there was a time when there was a nude bike ride, and there's a lot of people who are like, oh my God, I can't believe that's happening. I find it really offensive. Why do my children have to see naked people with their bits hanging out and all that kind of stuff when we're just going for a walk, like a nice Sunday afternoon walk, but there's a whole bunch of naked people, all that kind of stuff? A lot of the people who objected to it were people like Christians, and people just ignored that. And though it's offensive to you, yeah, what is it? Grow up. But then another group of people, all of a sudden, they think something's offensive, and all of a sudden there's a big thing about it. It makes headlines. People lose jobs, all that. And to kind of express this, I'm thinking that there was a time when let's talk about this issue of sexuality. And there was a time when being gay was offensive to a lot of people. Like, two men either holding hands in the street or two women kissing in the street would have caused an uproar. And there would be a lot of people who would have been like, you know, who would have been offended about that. Mm. And the same approach that a lot of people are using to someone like Andrew Turner now is the approach that would have been used to those people back then. It would have been like, oh my God, how can this happen? This is going to happen. You must keep this down. You must keep going. You're not allowed to express this. You're not allowed to do that. And if you're and there was a time, if it was a MP or a council or something like that, and it turned out you were gay, you are going to lose your job. You are going to be hounded out of that job. The same way that now somebody is saying, because, I don't think that, like, you know, being gay is right, is getting hounded out of their job, using exactly the same method as would have been used back then. So my question is, like, how is the approach any different? It's still kind of, as in my mind, bullying. It's still bullying somebody, and it's still saying, you have this point of view, it's different from my point of view, I do not like your point of view, therefore you're not allowed to express it, shut up, sit down in the corner.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? It is. It's a really, really tricky situation. I just think, I'm not really that offended by much.
Yeah.
And I don't really have too much of an opinion, and sometimes I like to sit back and just mull things over. But sometimes, you might say something that just comes out and you just think, oh, crikey, I've said that, and it's out there now, and I've said it and it's wrong. I can hear it back now, and so on. But I don't know. There is no correct way, is there? By talking about it, makes it, and I think you've got the right attitude. When somebody kind of offends you, you say, okay, so why do you think that then? And talking about it, and I've said this without repeating myself again, is the more we talk about it, the more intelligent we become, and the more facts and figures that we've got, the more respectful we become. And, you know, if we're a bit more aware, I think awareness is wonderful.
Yeah,
I think if we've got a bit more awareness about each other, we would probably be less offensive, if you can be.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's just common sense, and it really is. I mean, I go out every day, and I hear, you know, people of all ages effing and jeffing in front of little old ladies, and you think, you shouldn't be doing that. Whether she can hear it or not, because, you know, I don't know. Whether she's offended, I can't speak for, you know, and so on. Yeah, people are now trying to get through, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, people are trying to get through, as they say. Once again, if you have something to say on this issue, please do, well, I guess that there's a, leave a voicemail or something. But if you want to get involved with it, please do get onto the Facebook page, send an email, get onto Twitter, please.
It's as easy as that.
Yeah. All right, and actually, now we have Andy joining us.
He was offensive just now because his phone went off in his pocket. I was offended by that.
That's it, Andy. You are now no longer allowed to have a phone. using a bullying tactics, using the way that is, you're not allowed to have a phone anymore because that offends me. And especially, it's a nicer phone than mine. That really offends me. Sorry, carry on. Andy, what do you think about what we've been speaking about so far?
I totally agree with what Macca just said. I think you should and totally agree with what you said over the course of the discussion, that if you find something offensive, then you need to have a discussion about it and don't go off, you know, and mm-hmm. start, you know. Having, you know, growing up in the 70s like I did, and being raised by my mother, but being a bit of a misogynist when I got a bit older, and as I learned when, you know, matured and stuff, and you know, you kind of get a filter in your brain, so you stop yourself from saying stuff, because you grow up and you become more aware, like Macca said, and that's it, that you just got have that filter on, so you don't kind of, you know, insult people or you know, say offensive stuff. So
you're roughly the same age as me. 46. Oh, crikey, I'm quite a bit older than you. I'm 52 this year, and you're like only in your 30s, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm 37.
It's interesting. You mentioned, you know, the 70s, and I'm thinking, I just thought of Alf Garnett then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alf Garnett. Back in the 60s and the 70s. And then in the 1980s, when they came back, they said, right, we're taking it off. We're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it was wrong. Now, I've never understood that decision, because I think we probably learn more by watching those programs than if you sweep it under the carpet and don't do it.
I agree.
Because the one thing that was very, very apparent, especially in Love Thy Neighbour, which was far worse, I don't know whether you've seen, it was funny. Yeah. It was funny, but the white guy always lost.
Yeah. I think I've said so much to you. Because like there's this general approach in the UK, and I feel like it gets very, very apologetic and very, very, oh my god, that was offensive. And I feel like the people who are most offended by shows like Love Thy Neighbour, Mind Your Language, I think the people who are most offended by it, quite frankly, are white people. Because I look at someone like Love Thy Neighbour, that we saw that in Nigeria, because obviously, if for those of you who don't know what Love Thy Neighbour is, it was a 70s sitcom in which this white guy is so freaked out because a black family moves in next door. And he's like, oh my God, there goes a neighborhood. I can't believe it. And he probably had a couple of choice words that he called them that you could say before the watershed in 1970s BBC and all that. But my dad would record these shows, would watch them over, and he loved them because the white guy always ended up looking stupid.
Yeah.
And because the white guy had all these preconceptions about the black guy used it totally to his advantage and just played the white guy all the time, and we absolutely love that. But people are like, oh my god, that's offensive, you can't put it out there. And even coming more to the fact, there's a university somewhere where, you know, Cecil Rhodes, because of his whole, he went and he founded Rhodesia, which became modern day Zimbabwe and all that, there's a statue of him at a university, and I cannot remember which university it is, but people are campaigning to get the statue removed because this guy was a racist and all. And they say, we're offended by the fact that this statue is there. I'm like, wait a second, this is part of the history. If you kind of remove that statue, you're trying to whitewash history. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, we were never racist, we were always lovely and we were always all inclusive. I'm like, no, leave that statue up there, because you need to be reminded that at one point you were lording a guy who had some very questionable ideals and saying, yeah, this is our man, we're going to name buildings after him, we're going to put a statue up to him. You need to be reminded about that, because if not, you're going to whitewash it, you're going to try and forget about it. And my point that I was trying to make is that it's just going to happen all again. So in the 70s and the 80s, it used to be that gay people used to be bullied into hiding who they were,
sadly,
into not showing their real selves, into not expressing their opinion. And then now that things have changed, it feels like there's a group of people who are essentially doing the same thing to everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's like saying, okay, now you are not allowed to express what you think. You are not allowed to say anything. You are not. And we decided that. Well, I thought that what you were deciding was that it's not right to squash what somebody thinks without having a discussion about it. And I think if somebody has a point of view, because the thing that saddens me the most about all this Andrew Turner coverage, I mean, I was looking through it, and the headlines, you look at it, if you put a search for Andrew Turner and go for news on Google, the county press is like, apologize now. That's the headline. He refuses to apologize. How dare he refuse to apologize?
Yeah.
And the Sun is here, MP of the Isle of Wight quits in disgrace. And it's all, but there's no real bit that's actually trying to have a conversation. That's trying to say, okay, you have this point of view. Why do you have this point of view? Why do you say that homosexuality is bad for society? Why do you? There's no discussion to try and get somewhere, to try and get to a kind of point where he might understand the point of view of the student, for instance, who are like, you know, recorded what he said.
He's gone to ground now, and I think it would be very difficult for him to get a kind of a fair hearing now.
That's my point. If you like. That's what I think is wrong, is the fact that nobody wants to have a discussion to actually say, why did you say this? They just want to have a. They just want to him to shut up. Want him to shut down. The only thing they want to hear from him is sorry, not a discussion. Because I think the only way, if you find that kind of point of view that he has, if you find it abhorrent, if you find it horrible, the only way that's going to change is if you talk with him. The only way is if he's going to meet a couple of people that he thinks are bad for society, and he sees, hang on a second, maybe they're not.
Yeah.
That's the only way. But just hounding and bullying and saying all we want to hear is sorry, whether you mean it or not, all we want to hear is sorry, I think is...
Who do you think is saying... What sort of age group? Because I think age groups are very important here when you talk about these things. I mean, we both kind of were having this discussion last week, and if you are of a certain age, just say, for instance, if you're Andrew Turner, you're 63 years old, so that means for X amount of years... homosexuality was illegal.
It was illegal, yeah.
So he's grown up, and probably the most, the period of his life where he's going to be influenced the most, that's what the influence is.
Where your worldview most gets set.
And if you talk to a number of people, and I'm not saying all, because I say that would be offensive to say all, but I would imagine that the people born after 1990, possibly the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're probably better equipped to deal with today's world with all the changes that are going on around it.
I agree.
Whereas if you're born before that, that means most of your life, or a large part of your life, and probably the most influential part of your life, you have grown up thinking that certain things were illegal. You were also grown up through the times of, you know, 60s and 70s, where it was okay to call people names.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, I mean, you made a good point last week off air about, you know, we forget that sometimes. And,
yeah.
But we ought to make that point. But we also ought to sort of invite them into the topic of discussion. Don't isolate them. Don't say, we're not going to talk about it, shove it under the carpet. And equally, you know, not all of those people born after 1990, we've got to remember that they may be young kids of the parents that have just gone through that period of time where it was okay to say things and think things as well. So it covers all the boundaries. And if we were just open, honest, discuss.
Yeah.
I do like the way that you say someone calls you a name and you say, okay, why do you think that? You know, why can't we be that way? It would have been nice if maybe, you know, somebody would have collared Andrew Turner and sort of said, hey, look, so come on, let's talk about it. You're absolutely right. But you're never, ever going to get a fair hearing for him now, purely and simply because we've all said and we've all heard it for so long. As I say, I wasn't offended by the comments that he made. I thought he was an idiot. And I did feel as though you should not have said that in the school. Okay, but some people would say, you know, because it's his opinion. I don't share his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He's entitled to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Doing it in a school, totally wrong, totally outrageous, purely and simply because you're going in and talking to kids and you might have one or two, even if one child is in there, 16 years old, that is concerned about their sexuality and wondering who they are, what they are, and so on and so forth, that is going to drive that person to go either go underground, or it's going to make him or her feel like they can't talk about it because the MPs made them feel bad.
Okay,
and that's wrong. That is, you know, that and I would be offended. I'm offended by that, but not what he said. He said it.
Okay, I'm going to have one thing to say on that, so like to counter that before we let Andy say something, because I know we two are kind of big mouths and we can just like,
sorry, Andy, you know, not fine. I'm offended by that.
No, but the thing is, like, it's like, yeah, big mouth. Like, so no, it's so no, because I on the other hand think a school, especially at that age, as you say, as people's views are getting formed and everything like that, I feel if the approach had been, here we talk about things, if somebody says something, we talk about it, and we actually say, okay, let's see, I think a school is the place where you should be saying things like that, because if not, I feel like if you protect people, and you protect them, and you protect them, and you protect them, and you protect them, and then all of a sudden at 18, you kick them out into the world, and you're like, okay, now deal with it.
Yeah.
So they're in school, that you've protected them, you've made sure that they don't know that there's people who think that there's something that they do that might have like really, really bad views about it. You don't let them know that there's people out there who might hate them. And then all of a sudden, you kick them away, you send them off to university at 18, the whole world just sort of starts bashing them from all sides.
Yeah, there is
and
that
you've,
as well.
And you've never let them have an open discussion about other people's point of view. So I think, for me, the problem is that the approach nowadays is, ooh, general consensus says that this group of people are not allowed to be offended. This group of people, like, go back to the whole thing, Christians, you can offend them all you want, who cares? But this group of people are not allowed to be offended. So, if you say something that's offensive to that group of people in a school, oh my God, shut it down! And yeah. I think that is where I think the problem is. It's like, if he said, this is what I think. Because if you're thinking that every single person who's supposed to represent you, be it as a counselor, be it as an MP, agrees with everything you think, that is just not the way the world works.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right. And it is a good point. It is a good
but
point.
Anyway, sorry, Andy. I said I'll come back to you.
I only come here to like learn the system and play some buttons, and now I'm offended by coming in and coming to this talk show with Macca. You know, you've seen the shock on my face when he actually said, "Oh, you're going to be involved in this talk show."
Yeah, well, you know, a baptism of fire, isn't it? Really,
I wanted to play some records.
Well, I just wanted to see if you know, because you don't know who you're letting in. You could be anybody. You could go on air and say anything. At least we're finding out a little bit more about you within a lunchtime social debate that is going to find out. You know, we're touching some nerves here.
Oh my God, that's hilarious!
How are you going to react?
That's hilarious. Just the idea, just Andy, just going, I only wanted to play some records.
I'm like a rabbit in the headlights.
All of a sudden, I'm in here and they're asking me what's offensive. Oh my God.
Do you know what was really funny earlier on? You may not have heard it because you were out in the office. We had some kids in from St. George's School.
Yep.
And one of them said, when he came in and started talking, he said, is he from America?
Oh, yes.
And I didn't ask, I didn't know why to ask. I just thought, why are you thinking, is he from America? I didn't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that we can talk about and make, you know, comparisons to. And there's one funny story that I can tell you. There's loads that I can't tell you, but there's one funny story. I remember, I think I might have told you this story before. I remember taking my son in through the front door, and our house was a little cottage, and it was open on the road. There was just a pavement, and I was lifting him up out of his pushchair to get him inside the house. He would have been, I don't know, about 18 months too, you know.
Yep.
And I've lifted him up, and as he's lifting me up, he's put his thumb in my eye. So I'm not actually, and so I'm there. You know what it's like when you get a thumb in the eye? It's not nice. You can't see anything. And I hand. So somebody says, "Can I help you?" So I say, "Oh, thank you so much." And I handed the baby to this person, my son Tom, to this person, and didn't know who he was. Didn't matter at the time because I was in absolute agony. I just anyway, I turn around, And my son had said, before I could, you know, got my eyes back and see what was going on, my son said, "That chocolate man's holding me, Daddy." And I looked around, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Why have you said that? Why have you said, oh, I'm so sorry. Don't worry. I get called a chocolate man all the time by the kids. And it was... I was kind of mortified. He's 18 months, 2 years. He's not going to be, you know, he's not going to mean anything. But it was just one of those funny stories that... but he doesn't remember it.
Oh, I guess he's 18 months old. No. Right? Of course he can't remember it. But the thing is, so... yeah, I think to sort of round off, I mean, I just really feel that I don't think, personally speaking, I don't think that being offended is enough to demand the world for us. Some people think it is. Mm. Some people act like that tonight, that if something offends me, that's enough for me to kick up a fuss, and that's enough for me to get a petition signed and all that kind of stuff. And there isn't enough of a, okay, that's kind of offensive, let's actually try and break this, and let's sort of find out why this person thinks it's offensive. And something, I'm not going to say I have the right approach, but I'm just going to, but I have, it's, okay, simply by being black, I have something that's has been a thorny issue all around the world, and still is a thorny issue all around the world.
Sadly.
Yeah. I mean, it really, really is. And I feel like that's because a lot of people have not been allowed to express something. You've not been allowed to have this discussion. You haven't had, like, these sort of attitudes, they occur less in cities, because in cities, everybody just, like someone like London, everybody pours in. Everybody comes in, and then you get to hang out with every people, and you get to see all these. I mean, that's probably about the one good thing I can say about London, is that like everybody pours in, you get to see all these different things. And an approach that I try and take is I'm going to try and not get angry, even when things really, really do offend me. Like a big one now is like I do not like it when people, the way Africa, generally speaking, is treated. Some people talk about it like it's a country as opposed to a continent. Some people talk about it like everything in Africa is just the same. And this happens a lot, and it happens a lot to me in churches when I go up to somebody and I go, away from it. It's like, oh, I'm from Nigeria, and they're like, oh, that's great. We do some charity work in Africa, and that I cannot explain how much that incenses me. How much that makes me want to punch somebody in the face when they say that. But I try and swallow it down, and I try as much as I can with a civil voice on. Go, really? Which country? Half the time they, I try and just go, which country? Half the time they don't know.
Nah, of course not.
And I'm hoping that, and some that that's kind of like putting, maybe I shouldn't really just talk about it or anything like that.
Yeah,
and it really is, and I think it's just that moment where that anger kicks in. Just instead of reacting with that anger, just trying to think, okay. We don't know whether this person is just ignorant. We don't know how they grew up. We don't know what it is. I mean, especially if I'm someone like the Isle of Wight. Hey, I might be the first black guy they've ever met.
So not anymore, because Keith Abedin was here in 1978, long before you.
I know his brother.
But still,
actually.
Yeah, but still, people around there's still people who are like, you know, who they just not they, and so just sort of saying, okay, cool. Let's just try and get a conversation started.
Yeah,
and let me try in some way to teach them about my world. So I'm not gay, so I can't speak for that or anything like that. But I just wish that kind of approach could be used to say, this person doesn't know about my world. Let me try and show them something about my world.
Sure.
Let me try and show them that what they think about my world is not what actually my world is. Let me show them that. Well, as a Nigerian, I'm not a scam artist. let me show them that Africa isn't a country. And hopefully, I mean, I hope that there would be some gay person somewhere who Andrew Turner will come across someday, who will say, let me show him I am not a threat to society. And it's I really hope that that would happen at some point, and I really hope that that's what we could go about doing this thing.
Yeah, you've got to come back in and do it again, this, because so we've only scratched the surface, really, haven't we? Yeah, we really have. But that's way of ending up a discussion.
What I'd love to see is if anybody gets in touch on Facebook, or on Twitter, or on email, or leaves a voicemail, and if they do that, then we can use that as a starting point to carry this on.
Andrew Turner, I'm offended by what you've done and said.
How dare you say I'm old?
You should resign. Do you know what a funny story? Just end up with a funny story. My brother and I were having a discussion back in about 1986 one time, and I was playing. I was working in the nightclubs then. I was playing Cameo.
Oh, Cameo, yeah.
And word up,
like candy.
It's word up, and this guy was on Top of the Pops with a big posy pouch. You remember?
My brother
said to me, he said, "What are you playing that black man's music for?" And I said, "What do you mean a black man's music? What are you on about?" I said, "It's Cameo. This is great. This is what everyone's dancing to, you idiot." And I said, "What are you listening to anyway in your room?" Because we used to have separate rooms.
Yeah.
Graceland. Paul Simon. And he went on to tell me that it was a brilliant album. And I said, yeah,
well, he was ignoring the fact that Ladysmith Black Mambazo was going, all in the background.
And that, to me, sums up everything about it all.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. Okay, we're going to carry on now, and we will see you the same time next week for the Lunchtime Social.
Adios.
Okay. Thank you.